this episode of American Chopper.
All right, let's get rocking on this, all right?
The OCC crew gets down to the nuts and bolts.
Yahtzee!
Of building bikes.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
As Paul Jr. creates a custom chopper from the tools of the trade.
We're dealing with a high-end client, so we really got to be at the top of our game.
But disagreements.
It's not happening.
And last-minute delays.
Whoa!
Ratchet up the tension. Throw a wrench in the works.
So here he goes again, dragging ass when he should be kicking ass.
The tempers. The talent.
Whoa.
The turmoil.
I got a headache.
Another fun day at Orange County Chopper.
On this episode of American Chopper.
All right, numbnuts, we got bikes to build. You know, OCC is pretty much firing on all cylinders right now. We got quite a few customer bikes that we're working on and quite a few orders to fill, if you know what I mean.
Orange County Choppers.
And on top of all of that, we just agreed to build a theme bike for the Snap-on company. So things around here are going to get pretty busy.
Snap-on decided to invite Pauly to Snap-on today so that he could see the manufacturing process, get excited about design ideas, and get the ideas that he needs to really design a unique chopper.
When you're working with a high-end client like this, I think that it's really important to know what they're looking for design-wise.
Everything in our facility starts from cold-drawn wire. We are consuming steel at probably about the rate of 1 pound per second.
So I just wanted to look at some tools, see how things work here, you know, kind of get a feel for the company, and at the same time get an idea as to how to integrate these tools into the bike.
Wow. This is called cold forming. The wire itself is coming in cold, and there's no additional heat added to the process. The part comes out at a very elevated temperature, but that's strictly because of the amount of heat that's generated from moving the material around it.
That's amazing. I love anything that shows me how something is made or done. And the machinery is so incredible. It's just fascinating. Especially cold forging, to me, is amazing how you could take raw steel and just with pressure form it. So this is what it looks like when it goes in, and this is what it looks like when it comes out.
That's all I'm saying.
It was an incredible experience.
That's taking the cold sockets now, we're going to put them up to an elevated temperature, hold them at an elevated temperature for a specified period of time, and do a temper on the process, and then they'll be strong.
Cool.
Now they've got the strength to them, now we got to make them pretty.
Is that nickel right there?
This is nickel right here.
I was really impressed by the whole operation. I mean, they temper and they even chrome their own tools right on site.
Watching Pauly look at the different sockets and screwdriver handles and extensions that are made here, I can just see his mind turning, and it's really fun for us to see him get enthusiastic about putting this together into a real chopper.
I think we're going to use some sockets into the bike, maybe in the area of hand grips or something. I did see some curved wrenches that I think would work well into like a wheel theme. All together, it's going to be a really fun project to be able to integrate these tools into various parts of the motorcycle. This stuff is amazing, absolutely mind-boggling. I wanted to make the frame out of a hex-shaped tubing, you know, like a giant Allen wrench. The problem is, nobody makes hex tubing. But the guys at Racing Innovations, who fabricate all our frames, knew of a company who could create tubing by boring out solid hex stock.
The process we're doing right now is we're running what's called a BTA machine. It's a boring machine. We can bore from a 5/8 diameter hole all the way up through a 3.5 inch diameter hole. Right now we're working with this hex bar as a 1018. It's a fairly soft alloy. Drill drills between 4 and 5 inches a minute. We're spinning it at about 600 RPM. This material here is 8 feet long, so we only drill 4 feet deep. Then we back the bed out, take the material out of the machine, turn it around, put it back in the machine, and start from the other end, and our hole meets in the middle. Okay, Scout, it's all done.
All right, man. Hey, looks good. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Can we get that material in, the handlebar material? Beautiful. Most of the Hex custom tubing that LMS made went directly to Racing Innovation so they can get started on the frame. But they overnighted one section to us so that I can get started on making the handlebars.
Just run it right down it.
I don't want to scratch it. I don't want to dig into it.
Oh, yeah. Let me see the knife. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Somebody's going to get stabbed. There you go. All right, look at this. See this material? Jeez, it's heavy, huh?
And the whole frame's going to be made out of it?
It's going to be a beefy frame.
The whole idea of this bike is to give it like a tool mechanic look. You know what I mean?
That's handlebars. It's going to be heavy.
And in order to do that, Paulie has to make parts for the bike out of real tools, which I think is going to be a challenge, but I think it's going to really look pretty awesome.
I don't know what shape to do the bars, though.
You know what you should do? Just bend the riser up and do a straight drag bar. Simple.
I was thinking of using big sockets for risers.
If you can get a wrench with the right opening in it, you can bend the rest and you can bolt it right to the top of the trees.
That'd be pretty hot. Well, yeah, or you know what? I could have the two wrenches coming up holding the bar.
Ah, awesome. That's a great idea. That would look cool.
Without a doubt at this point, this is the most difficult frame we've ever built. There's no doubt about it.
Because every part had to be hex-shaped, including the neck, which we had to drill ourselves using 4-inch thick solid hex stock.
Well, this is a spade drill. Should bore the hole in this right at.
It's basically the same process as with the frame tubing. But since it was such a short piece, we could do the machine work on our own equipment.
Whoa!
Sometimes that flak oil gets pretty hot. It's only the second time I've caught metal on fire here.
Once we had the hole drilled, we rounded the hex off both ends so that the trees would couple to the neck.
All right, Brian, how's it going?
It's done.
Ah, there we go.
Okay. Didn't want it flying out of there.
Excellent.
Is this all Snap-on?
Yeah, I think so.
We got a shipment of tools that came in today that we're going to incorporate into the bike. Unfinished and untempered so that we can actually cut, bend, and weld them.
Man,
I got a lot of tools here, as that's a wrench. There must have been 300 or 400 different pieces. Man, this is your dream over here. This is like Christmas time for a mechanic. Way more than we could ever possibly use.
This is my haven.
But it was still really nice to have them because the more I looked at them, look at that, man, the more ideas I started to get.
That's gonna be money.
Look at that. It's awesome.
That's gonna be nice on there.
Right? That'll be a great riser. A little overwhelmed by tools here. I know I dropped a razor blade in here, so that'll be fun. All right, Mikey. Basically, I need you to unwrap everything so I can see what I'm working with. Okay. I don't want to leave anything in the box wrapped.
Yeah, I'll leave everything
If you see things like this, like these,
yeah,
like keep all the S's together, you know?
Yeah, I'll keep them nice and neat. And
Paul was really excited about the tools coming in, but the novelty of it wore off as soon as we had to unwrap them. There must have been 500 tools that needed to be unwrapped.
Let's try to keep the little stuff, like, try not to come past here so I can still see everything and use this for workspace.
So try to...
And, of course, Paulie wanted them organized in a certain way.
Like, don't come past here, and you can start working your way down across the table.
If you ask me, this is about as low as you can go on the totem pole around the shop. Well, at least when I get to answer the phone, I can talk to people. And when I take out the trash, I get some fresh air. But this was just endless.
When you're building a frame, everything builds off the neck. So once we had that finished, Dwayne could begin the actual fabrication of the whole frame. One of the biggest challenges with this frame is getting this hex shape to bend in the tubing bender, because it's a lot thicker than what we normally use.
The tubing bender is a 5-horse motor with a hydraulic ram on it, so it produces close to 4 or 5 tons, probably even more, of pressure.
Well, when you're bending tubing, the tube actually gets twisted a little bit. With round tubing, you don't really notice it. But with this hex tubing, it tends to get askewed. So to realign all the lines, we take an oxyacetylene rosebud torch. And heat the metal up at the bend points till they're cherry red. And that makes them soft enough so that we could slowly roll the frame back into line. This is an extra step that we wouldn't have to take with our standard frames, but when you're dealing with frames for custom bikes, you've got to be prepared to come up with custom processes to meet any challenges that arise. Normally, we can do a frame of this size within a day, but because of the complexity and the extra steps involved in this particular frame, we're going to take at least the better part of 2 days to get this one done.
Okay, let's go ahead and get the strap on this thing here and get her all buckled down for tonight. We'll go ahead and call it the night. Come in first thing in the morning and get started on this thing, and hopefully to get it all done.
You know, I know Paul, he's got a lot of ideas and whatnot for this bike.
I got a headache.
But thinking about something and doing something is entirely two different things. He was supposed to get going on the handlebars today. But all he did was open up a couple boxes and stuff his pie hole. And you know, we got to unveil this bike in a couple weeks. So here he goes again, dragging ass when he should be kicking ass.
Another fun day at Orange County Chop.
Waiting on the frame to come in. So in the meantime, me and Vinny are going to start fabricating the handlebars. Because that's something we can get out of the way right now. And it'll actually buy us a little time to do the rest of the fabrication for the bike. For this project, I decided to go with a straight drag bar. And what I wanted to do is make it look like a giant turnbuckle.
These are anchor bolts.
That'll do the trick.
Yeah, they put them in the masonry and then this holds up the column, you know?
To pull off that look, I'm using the hex tubing for the center section and two threaded round bars that extend out for the hand grips.
I think it'll be cool as heck, don't you?
You bet.
Paulie wanted to make sure we incorporated tools wherever possible on the bike.
Sit right on it, man.
So for the risers, we decided to use open-ended wrenches that fit the hex tubing.
Right in there, all right.
Isn't that pretty good?
It's a drag bar. You're
it's actually going to come back a little
It'll
lower.
Come back, yep,
it's going to drop down here and be back another inch and a half. Once we decided the rise and the pitch that we wanted, we started cutting and fabricating.
Yahtzee!
Horrible noise, ain't it?
Yeah. Snap on.
Snap off. That's pretty cool looking, huh?
To build this frame, what we did is we used the same dimensions that we use on a lot of Orange County Choppers frames.
Because of the different characteristics of this tubing, we more or less have to eyeball things and just play it by ear and make sure that the angles are right.
I'm using this top piece as a template because we've never used any tubing like this. I don't have any actual measurements to go by. I use this piece of metal here as a flat gauge to make sure my angles are square, that when we get it up to the jig, that everything is in correct relation.
Okay, looks like I'm ready for the seat post now.
Probably the most challenging aspect for Dwayne, who's fabricating the frame, is getting all six flat sides of this tubing to line up at the weld points. In order to do that, well, it just takes time.
Just like that, it'd be hot, huh? I think what we'll have to do is really make sure we're on there flat and intact here. Same thing there, and then look down them.
Ah,
hot.
Hot stuff.
Gotcha.
Hot tamale.
We really didn't want to see any welds on the handlebars. The whole idea was to give the illusion that the grip extensions were actually screwed into the center hex bar. So what we did is use plug welds to secure the bars. So this way the weld is actually inside the tube instead of, you know, around the outer edge.
Then just watch it all splatter up the tools too.
I sprayed them down.
Oh, they should be fine then.
It's gonna look good with that snap-on piece in the front.
Yeah. Because this bike is being made for a corporation to be used for promotions and whatnot, it was very important for us to incorporate their logo into the bike without detracting from the overall lines and design of the bike.
That's a nice touch.
You're a good egg.
Once the plug welds are grinded, sanded smooth, and powder coated, no one will ever know they're there. It'll actually look like these handlebars are a giant turnbuckle.
Think of that, Vin. Think of that, Pop.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Be a little short.
You know, although Paulie's taking his sweet-ass time with this bike, I do have to admit, these handlebars are going to look pretty exceptional when he's finished. You know, he took my idea for those wrenches, using them for the risers, and he improved on them.
Because Paulie wanted to powder coat the bars and chrome the risers, we had to make the bars removable. So we couldn't use a plug weld to hold it all together. What we decided to do was drill a hole in the underside of each wrench. And then we tapped two holes in the hex bar so we can use the hex bolt to attach the wrenches to the bar and lock them in place. So that way there's no visible welds anywhere on the handlebars. It really looks like they're just being held up by the wrenches.
Wow, they look good on there, huh?
Sweet, huh?
Yeah, they sure
do. That's gonna be one of the coolest parts of that bike, you know that?
Oh. You know what? It's a good start to a good project, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is.
Snap-on looks good in there, don't it?
Yeah.
It's perfect.
This frame took a little longer than I think even we expected it to. So now it's kind of a mad dash to get it done because it's got to ship today. The last little finishing touch is an axle cover plate. We're customizing using two Snap-on wrenches . You know, I think it's going to be a pretty neat deal. Custom frame that we do for OCC is a challenge, but this was definitely the most challenging. But you know, when you work with a company like OCC that's always trying to do different things and pushing the envelope of fabrication, you don't mind going the extra mile yourself.
The door.
Wow.
She's a beaut.
Here, watch.
You guys got it?
Geez, you think this thing's heavy enough?
I don't think this is chrome, Ollie.
This morning we got the frame in from Racing Innovation.
Break out the knife, Pop.
And I was pretty excited to see how it turned out. Because I know using that hex tubing made it a lot more complicated to fabricate.
That's pretty cool, huh, Pop?
Okay. Wow, look, this is hot, isn't it?
Yeah, I had him. You see what I had him do? You see I had him machine this down?
How nice is that, huh? Look at those welds, man. They got a good welder.
Yeah, they did a nice bike. They did a nice, they used solid stock smaller.
They used
smaller.
The XDs, huh?
Even the exhaust mount brackets. I couldn't have been happier with the frame. I mean, the craftsmanship and the attention to detail that went into the frame was incredible.
This is the coolest frame I've ever seen.
Isn't it?
No doubt.
I mean, that's a cool frame. That's the only frame like it in the world. I know at first my father had some doubts about whether this idea would work, but let me tell you, Racing Innovations really pulled this off. We'll be right back.
process of putting these bikes together is the same every time. Each theme bike we build is different in one way or another. So you're still going to run into little problems here and there, fabricating them and putting them together. On this bike, I ran into the same problem with the offset plate that I ran into on the Comanche. Got some grinding to do. Because of the angular shape of the tubing, I had to cut a notch out of the frame to make room for the plate. It's little things and problems like this that slow you down a little bit. So it's important to keep that in mind and allow for these delays when you're building these bikes.
Tonight I decided to come out to the Orange County Fair. And I brought my girlfriend Whitney with me.
Can I get two adults?
When I was a kid, every summer I looked forward to going to the Orange County Fair. You know, the whole family would come out here, play on the rides, play the games, have a good time and all that stuff. So it was kind of nice to be able to do the things like in the old days.
Holly and I have been dating for a few months, so I came out to visit him. And you know, I come from a small town too, so coming to the fair made me feel right at home. Because it's such a family atmosphere, and you've done it since you were little, and it's something everybody enjoys continuing in their life.
Winner, 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 he got one! High five, good job, Paul!
Thank you! Let's look at the cows.
Hey, let's go feed them. Want to go feed them?
Yeah, let's go feed them.
Here we go, we're feeding the llamas.
Come here, guy.
Watch their tongues.
The llamas take forever. These guys just vacuum them up.
I like this
one,
though.
Real Westerns. You like that one?
Yeah.
Whitney really wanted a special souvenir from our trip to the fair. And basically, she talked me into dressing up like a cowboy for one of those old-time photos.
That worked for me.
Hey, this ain't New York City, man.
You look like a real cowboy.
You look good, babe.
Do you love it?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I really felt a little ridiculous, you know, dressing up like Howdy Doody. But she really wanted to do it, so it was fine with me.
Okay, very good. Help you out, ladies and gentlemen, out of the room.
Wow.
That's how you take it.
That looks good, right?
It does look good. Huh?
That's how you take an average-looking guy and make it look good, man.
Yeah. Well, how'd you do that? Probably my favorite part of the fair was getting to take the old-time photos because I have never done that before, and they turned out so cute and so different than you dress every day.
Whoa.
That's what I love about the Ferris wheel. There's such a good view.
Wow, this is some view of the park, huh? You know, for the past couple years, I've really just been focusing on work and helped my father really build the business. And that's great and important and everything, but there's really more to life than just work.
So you have a phone? All right.
And meeting Whitney has really made me realize that.
Today, me and Paul, you're going to try and get some of the custom accent features fabricated on a bike. The first thing I'm going to do today is mounting the tank. Then I'm going to get started on the forward controls. Paulie came up with an idea to modify a ratchet as a kickstand, so he's going to be working on that.
One of the
things I really like about this kickstand is that it's something someone wouldn't notice the first time they look at the bike. And you know, I think that's important when you're building these theme bikes, because you want the person to discover new design details every time they look at it.
The idea we came up with the forward controls was to use sockets for the brake and shift levers. This really kind of works with the whole idea of using actual tools for functional operating parts. We did something similar with the foot pegs too. So what we're doing for those is use large ratchet heads. They were simple to fabricate, but they really turned out pretty sweet.
Dad, well, look at this. How nice is that?
Oh, that's hot, man. That is so cool, man.
This looks good too, don't it?
Looks awesome. You know, it really doesn't take much to make me happy. All I want to see is a little progress on these bikes. And today, Vinny and Paulie seem pretty focused on his tool bike. All right, let's go eat, no?
Let's go to lunch.
And you know, that's all I really ask is just a little get up and go. You know what I mean?
Our lunch break beating the hell out of an old truck out back. I can't really tell you why we were doing it. Maybe we were working hard or feeling the pressure trying to get this bike done. But for whatever reason, it sure felt good doing it.
Oh, it's bee's nest. Oh,
all around.
You know, I'm not at a shop more than an hour. But all of a sudden, I hear this racket coming back from the old shop. I'm thinking, what the hell? Is there some kind of demolition derby going on? And it's just about every knucklehead out there beating the hell out of this old truck. All right, numbnuts, we got bikes to build. You know, I didn't get that aggravated at it because, you know, every once in a while, everybody's got to blow off a little steam.
That'll work. You know, the fabrication on this bike is going pretty smooth. Usually on these theme bikes, we're always up against a tight deadline. Bastard. But I think because we got all the parts from Snap-on and the frame so early, right now we're just kind of cruising. But to be honest with you, it's a little too early in the game to tell if our luck's going to hold out or not. What do you think?
It's nice.
How's it look going down?
It's good.
Oh man, how can you beat that? You got your ratchet here, your ratchet there, your sockets here.
Yeah, I don't think you can beat it, man. I think between Vinny and me, we made a lot of progress today. And if everything goes right, we should actually finish this bike ahead of schedule. And hopefully that'll calm my father down, at least for a little while. For this bike, we decided to install a miniature toolbox for where the oil tank usually fits.
How's it going, Ben?
Hard to go, go.
I gotta keep my eye on you.
Which means we're gonna have to find another place to hide the real oil tank. It's a little bit extra work, but I really think it's gonna be a standout feature on the bike.
That should be even right there.
That's pretty good right there.
I'll mark it then.
Well, think about that then. I'm going to start marking it out some more and drill.
We're trying to mount the oil tank?
Yeah, we got to figure it out. The box, the little mini Snap-on box.
That one right there, right?
Yeah.
You know, Paulie decided to install a toolbox on this here bike, you know? And considering the theme, it makes a lot of sense. But you know, to hear him tell it, you think it was the first time anybody come up with an idea like that. But let me tell you, I know better. You know what I mean?
Well, Vinny took care of all the detail work and mounting of the toolbox. I started in on the fabrication of the oil tank. Basically, it's a 6x9-inch box made of 16-gauge cold-rolled steel.
Very good, very good.
The idea is to mount it inside the frame, directly beneath the transmission. But in order to make the box fit, I had to notch out a little section of the frame. It's a really tight fit, but once it's set in, it almost disappears. It's decent. I think it'll look cool. Everybody's gonna think it's an oil tank, and they're gonna go, "Where's the oil lines?"
We should even dub the oil lines into it.
We should.
Come over here and turn around so I can hit you in the back of the head. Come over here and turn around so I can hit you in the back of the head.
You know, we've hired a new secretary here at OCC.
You're such a dork.
What a dud, huh? Her name is Lauren, and she's going to pretty much take over a lot of my duties around the office, mostly answering the phones. So today I decided to show her the ropes, because doing what I do isn't exactly as easy as it looks. Orange County Choppers.
Who's this?
Who's this?
Hey, I ordered a hat from you guys.
Thank you. He called just to say that. Orange County Choppers.
Is Paulin?
Senior or junior?
Senior.
Nope.
Is junior in?
Nope.
Nobody's in.
No.
When will they be in today?
Probably around.
Go ahead.
Probably around 2:25.
What time is it out there?
2:25. Actually, they should be back in about an hour.
Okay, about an hour.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
I love hanging up on people. That's my favorite.
Orange County Choppers.
Oh, she beat me to it.
The T-Rex started at 39,000.
She's good. Well, you know, Lauren's pretty sharp, and she's been catching on pretty quick. And tomorrow, I think I'm going to show her how to take out the trash.
Very good, very good.
After I finished up with the oil tank, I started right in on the rear struts. I'm using two close-end S wrenches because I really like the way the curb flows with the bike,
And using the actual tools will really tie the whole theme in together. Man, I drove right through the tire.
Did you really?
That time I did.
That's a good tire.
I know.
And a good wheel.
Got something I can plug this with? Look, hey, I put that in there and went right through the hole. Give me something to plug this so we don't gotta change this wheel out. Come on, Vin, quick. I can't hold the dam much longer.
Well, how big's your hole?
Oh, it's a big one.
Go all the way right in it. Now push. They cauterized it right in there.
Perfect.
Thanks, Bob.
You can run it like that, no? Whoa.
You know, me and Paulie were really kicking butt on this bike. But that all kind of changed once you started trying to mount the rear struts.
Come on, you little sucker.
I don't know if it was Murphy's Law or what, but whatever Paulie tried to do became a problem.
Come on, little monkey. Oof, oh, oof. Look at that. It's like cut into my finger with heat.
I didn't feel a thing. And to tell you the truth, it was kind of funny to watch. Didn't even flinch.
The right side strut basically went on in a snap, but the left side was a little trickier because I had to make sure that the wrench cleared the rear pulley. In order to do that, I had to heat up the wrench and bend it a little bit. Mikey, hold this. Watch, careful. Don't set your hair on fire. Or me, for that matter.
You know, I'm very aware of my position and rank in the shop, but it was still pretty humiliating to have to stand there and hold my brother's torch. I mean, I felt like an idiot standing there like the Statue of Liberty or something, while my brother, the artist, figured on what the hell he was doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't mention it. I guess it's what I'm here for.
You know, it's strange. All these theme bikes really start out with nothing more than an idea. And piece by piece, you start putting them together, and they really start to take shape. And you know, the more I actually see it come together, the more design ideas I get. It's a continuous process, and the further along we get, the more excited I get to see how it's going to turn out.
On American Chopper.
Where's Paulie?
Battle lines are drawn.
Listen.
No, you listen.
And accusations fly.
What are you, a prima donna?
As father and son push each other to the breaking point.
1 second, I'm going to throw your ass out of here, all right?
Tempers reach a fevered pitch.
See you later, buddy.
When Paul Sr. tightens the screws.
Do something.
And the deadline closes in. On OCC's latest creation.
Wow, that's hot.
The rants.
I don't really give a whether he comes back or not.
The rage. The recognition. Next time on American Chopper.